Well, today is an exciting day or a dreadful day. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But I do have the fortune of having my three favorite people on earth on the podcast today. My oldest daughter, Taylor, the middle one, Reagan, and the youngster, Evan. So welcome to the podcast, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're quite, happy to be here.
You're quite welcome. So I will say that the greatest privilege and greatest accomplishment of my life is being a parent, raising my kids. And I never would have thought that having a relationship with my adult children would be as fun as raising my kids. But I am so proud of all of them. All of them are accomplished in their own ways, successfully adulting, and have made me look like I knew what I was doing. So we're just going to dive in, and you guys are going to grade me as a father and tell me what I did right and what I did wrong. And I'll highlight a couple of things. Like when we first started out, so when I was in grad school, Taylor, you were two. Reagan, you were in the womb. And then Evan was born once I had finished school. And I was licensed and practicing. And then we were in the throngs of evangelical Christianity. So give me some feedback on what you guys remember about that stage in life.
About when we were in the throngs of evangelical Christianity.
Yeah.
Trauma is what I remember.
Yeah, speak about trauma. What was, like, do you mean that sincerely?
Yeah, like, for example, if I ever got pissed off at you or mom, and I, even the thought in my head of, like, I hate you, Dad, went through my head, I would, like, cry and sit in my room and pray for, like, the next hour.
Okay. Yeah. That constitutes as trauma. Taylor, what are your memories of the early evangelical days?
When you said that, the first things that, like, flashed through my mind were, like, trying to sleep in as late as possible on Sundays so I wouldn't have to go to church. Not being allowed to show my shoulders. For some reason, that one really stuck with me.
Is that true?
Yeah, and that brings another thought of having to wear t-shirts over my swimsuit at church camp.
Oh, wow.
And the guys just were shirtless. It was a lot about us having to change our behavior so men wouldn't have thoughts or actions, God forbid, more so than teaching the boys to suppress those thoughts and actions. So very interesting way of growing up.
So, okay, that's interesting. So what did that... How did that affect your view of self? Like, you guys were doing something wrong, or it was your fault that boys were thinking about you, or what? That's interesting. I've never heard you say that before.
Yeah, I think it, like, even if I didn't realize it at the time and into adulthood, like, changed the way that I viewed just my now adult relationships. And this is not the term that I thought this conversation was going to go. But yeah, I think it just, like, growing up that way, just it really, like, embeds a certain way of thinking. And yeah, I also feel like there's just a... when something happens to a girl or a woman, like, if they're assaulted, like, a lot of times, which I think now it's not as severe, but it used to be like, well, this is what she was wearing. She was asking for it. Like, it's just like been, I think that goes along with like us being told to cover up at a younger age. I think that expands beyond just the Christian culture, but it was definitely very prevalent there too.
Wow. Okay. That is interesting. I didn't know that that was something that had affected you guys. So Ev, you were actually born a Texan. Do you have any memories of Texas?
Not at all.
Nothing.
No, nothing.
So what are your earliest memories?
It's like, well, I don't know. Cause it's kind of a weird thing. It's like, I can't remember. I don't know if it was an actual memory or just like a weird dream I had a couple of years ago. Like, you know what I'm saying? But I don't know. I've been over here trying to, you guys have been talking. I've been trying to think of like my experience growing up and how like that related to all this. But I just was like the third child, you know, like I was just kind of running around like minding my own business. And I was also the most oblivious child. Like I just kind of didn't like, it took years later where you guys would bring up like some fucked up, or can I say that? Can I say it?
Okay. You can say fucked up.
Fucked up thing that happened. And I'd be like, I had no idea. I was down the block playing in the creek. Like, I don't know. I don't remember that.
So yeah. When do you remember coming out of oblivion and like, oh, this is like, this is my life.
Yeah, I'm probably like 10 or 9 or 10.
Oh.
Which could be.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm telling you, I was oblivious.
Dude, but, you stayed in the Matrix for a long time.
Which, I mean, I don't regret. But.
Right. Yeah. Like those were some good years.
Right. Yeah, of course.
So then for you, then our house, in Bluegrass, is that kind of where things started? You started living your life?
Yeah, I think, well, as you put it, go out of the Matrix. Is that
unplugged
what you said?
From the Matrix? Yeah. Yeah.
I guess, yeah, whenever you and Mom got a divorce, I think is probably whenever.
Oh.
So.
That's whenever. Yeah. It's like, oh, shit's getting real. Like, I guess I. Yeah.
He's like, wait, I want to go back.
Yeah. I think my best guess would be around that time. Yeah.
So that's interesting because I was working for a church. You guys were all in Christian school and, you know, we were the church family, right? And
yeah.
I started just kind of subtly like, okay, this shit doesn't work for me. And I remember thinking, okay, I've got to get you guys out of the Christian school. I've got to get you like around people that think differently. And so you guys fill in the blank between, okay, our Christian life and then I don't know how your perspective was. My parents are getting divorced or dad's divorcing my mom, or I don't know. I'd be interested to hear you guys talk about what that whole experience was like.
So you're asking what it was like to transfer from like Christian school to.
No, just from like school? Us being the all-American Christian family to. My parents are getting divorced.
I thought the world was falling apart.
Well, really? I mean, what was that like? I'm be interested to hear.
I don't remember. Oh, go ahead, Taylor.
Oldest goes first.
Yeah. Okay, Dad, I don't remember if this was you or if this was self-inflicted, but I remember not being able to tell anyone. And I told like one of my closest friends at the time and I was like, but you can't tell anyone. It's like a small town. Dad's a therapist. Like again, that very well could have been self-inflicted knowing myself. But I don't know if I felt like ashamed of it or if I just felt this need to like that it needed to be a secret. But I think that made it obviously a lot more stressful and just feeling like, if no one knew about it, I was in control of the situation. I'm a bit of a control freak, as we know. So that was kind of my angle.
Ray, what about for you? the world was falling apart?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the drama that I tend to produce, but I think I was, I mean, when I first found out y'all were getting divorced, I was like, not okay. But I also think moving out of Christian school and being like, I just feel like everyone in the Christian school and the church, like everyone was acting like, that's why it was so stressful for me. Cause I'm like, oh, like Christian people don't get divorced. Like this is like people at church don't get divorced. Like this is really bad. And then once I started going to public school and I started hanging out with like the normal general population, I was like, oh no, people are real. People are human. We make mistakes. Like this sucks, but it's fine. Like the world is not ending.
What are your memories of it, Ev?
Yeah. Cause I remember before, like the idea of like a divorce was like kind of this mythical, like, being like horrific event you hear about. And I think it definitely was that whenever it happened. But also I think, and I never went to like Christian school, so I don't know what that was like at all for you guys. But I remember, I think probably most of my friends at that time had divorced parents. So I definitely had like a lot of people, like peers that I could go to like help me work through the sort of situation. So yeah, I never really had the whole, like what Reagan was saying, how it was kind of like Christian, like parents should never get a divorce. So I didn't really have like that kind of strong idea in my head at the time. So it didn't really hit me in that way.
So did you guys talk about it a lot? Like as siblings, did you talk about like our parents are getting divorced? And
I don't really remember.
I feel like I probably like cried to Taylor a few times and she was like, it's fine. Being the older sibling that she is, but I don't really think we would ever just like powwow and cry about it. Yeah, no. I think we did. I have memories of us talking about it. I don't know how frequently we did. But I do remember trying to keep as much as possible, especially from you, Evan. So, that could be why you don't have any.
That's why I feel like I was so oblivious. It's because Taylor was sheltering me from everything.
And Evan's like, I'm fine, man. What's up with you guys? Like, this shit's normal to me. I'm public school.
I guess I appreciate it.
Thanks for the effort, as wasted as it was. So then what was it like for me to change so much, to go from, you know, the Christian dad to the to whatever I am now? Was that what was that like?
It was really confusing at first for me. Like, I feel like I just remember it being like a flip switch, and then for a while I was just like angry because I didn't understand like why you guys got divorced, and then I didn't understand why you had changed so much so drastically. But the older I get, the more I'm like, oh no, he's just himself now, and he was being a freak before.
That's helpful. I'm glad that. What about for you, Tay? What was it like?
Oh boy, I had quite the dad. I don't know if you remember my little quarter life crisis in college. I think that just the person that taught you everything you know, then changing their mind on all of that is like very confusing and hard to process. It was like, wait a minute. I just grew up, lived my whole life, you telling me one thing, and now you're saying you no longer believe that. And it wasn't like necessarily an upset, like being upset with you or Matt. I mean, I was mad at you at one point, but not at this time. And yeah, it was just like a couple years of like, holy shit, I gotta figure this out. it almost like forced me to start thinking for myself or like what makes sense to me, knowing I've grown up this way, but now all of that might not be factual.
Yeah, that'll stress the brain out a little bit, won't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you should try breaking up with the God of the universe at 42 years old. That, like, you want to talk about frying the circuits, man. It took me about 10 times to finally break up with him. And the last time I was like, damn it, God, I can't do this anymore. I'm leaving you for good and I'm packing my shit and going. So I completely understand just the anxiety that much of a divergence creates. What about for you, Ev?
Sorry, can you say it? What was the question?
Christian again? Dad to the dad okay. that you have now.
Yeah. So, right. So, I mean, I was younger.
Right.
So I am kind of struggling to remember like the exact emotional like shit I went through. Right. But I definitely do feel like there was like a big, like before it was like my parents and then after it was like dad and mom and dad. Like, you know, they were two like separate people and like I got to know them as who they were like individually, yeah. which I think is like was like a good thing, but it definitely was weird. Was kind of a whiplash sort of thing when seeing you go from like both opposite ends of the spectrum. So yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I jumped into the deep end of both, didn't yeah. I? It was yeah. no, like, no, now I'm going to like, drink too much and
yeah.
be an asshole. And
I don't I don't like have any sort of, I don't have any resentment for the way like that we grew up. I feel like, I think definitely growing up religious, I think it did instill a lot of good values in me, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't have any regret for that. And I definitely, you know, I don't regret it at all, but there obviously is some parts of it that are fundamentally kind of sketchy morally.
Yeah, one of the biggest issues, just like philosophically for me, was I grew up and my predominant experiences were shame, guilt, and fear. And it was just, it constantly like shame, guilt, fear, shame, guilt, and just I don't know that I could have articulated that I was scared of the secular world. But there was definitely an us versus them. And as I was, you know, developing as a therapist and encountering more people and people of just completely different experiences that were wonderful, wonderful people, that barrier between, you know, the enlightened Christian and the, you know, lost heathen started to disappear and to realize, wow, I am my client. And as I started to see that, one of the things that became really, really important to me as a parent was I never, ever wanted you to feel shame. Now, I know that's beyond my control, but I never wanted you to feel bad about the person you are, that there's just something wrong with you. And the second thing that I wanted was I wanted you to see the world as a beautiful, wonderful place to be explored. And I never wanted you to feel like it was us versus them and the world was sinners on fire and I had to run around putting them out. I just wanted you to have a wonderful life and explore and do things. So that, and I can elaborate more on that. But I guess my question is now, how'd I do? What kind of father was I? And we'll go in reverse order this time. We'll start with the youngest, or you guys chime in, but give me your honest feedback. Like, being your father is the greatest accomplishment and greatest privilege of my life. How bad did I fuck it up?
I mean, it's hard to say. I don't know. I think you did all right. I mean, but it's hard to speak on myself, though. I mean, what do you guys think? Do you think I turned out okay? Personally? Oh.
You turned out great, Ev.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't know.
What do you guys feel like I did well, and what do you feel like I didn't do so well?
I think speaking to what you were just saying about just hearing you say how you wanted us to view the world, like, I think that you successfully accomplished that. I didn't really know that was happening, that you were intentionally trying to make that happen. But I think all three of us, I think, are very much so our own person in our own ways that are going to lead us to success in the rest of our lives. I think you did a good job of allowing us to become who we want to be while also being like, okay, you can't turn into pieces of shit. Like, you got to make something of yourself. But I mean, I think I also, since moving to the city and kind of like really being on my own for the first time and like just seeing how people interact, like once they're their own responsibility officially, I think it's become so much clearer to me, like, okay, that person doesn't have good communication skills, or that person doesn't have, like, can't, like, read a room very well. And it's like, I think that you unintentionally taught us how to treat people well and, like, be considerate. And, yeah.
I think the biggest thing, because you were saying earlier how, and I don't know if it's just church or how there is kind of the us versus them mentality. And I think, I don't know if it's a thing about religion or church, but like it just kind of creates an inherent lack of tolerance, I guess you could say. And I think that is something you did well, whether you intended to or not, is, I mean, I think I feel like I pride myself on the fact that I'm able to put myself into other people's shoes. I think that's a pretty good ability I have. I don't know what you guys think about that, but I think I've always been able to see things from the other like perspective, even if I'm like pissed off and like one of my friends like did something fucked up and I'm like pissed off, I can still like see where they were coming from and why they would act the way they acted in that situation. And like, I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I agree.
Cool.
Well, and I think that's one of the things.
I thought you were going to elaborate.
I thought that was one of the things just that doing therapy tore that down. And it was just, I remember early on when I was in grad school reading a book, Carl Rogers' Person-Centered Therapy, and he developed this concept called unconditional positive regard. And I remember reading that concept and it just like unconditional positive. Wait, what the fuck is that? What is unconditional positive regard? And what Rogers was explaining was, you know, it's not about whether you like or dislike your client. Like that doesn't factor into it at all. It's that you're always for your client. And, you know, coming out of a brand of evangelical Christianity that just judged everything, like just constant judgment and condemnation and judgment and condemnation. That felt like hate to me. And it just was so unnatural. And I just remember when I read that, like unconditional positive regard, I think I read that chapter like 15 times because it was like the single most, like, wait a minute, I didn't even know that this was a thing. I didn't know that. And just immediately started practicing that and as a therapist, but tried to practice it as a human being and definitely as a parent. you know, the way that Roger said it, you're always for your client. And it was like, okay, I am always for my kids. Like, I'm always for my kids. Now I have to know that they know that I am always for them. I don't care how bad you fuck something up. I don't give a shit. There is literally no situation that you can get yourself into that I am not like sprinting towards you to help get you out of that situation. And that was one of the most significant changes in me. And hopefully you experienced that in the way that I related to you guys as a father, because that was the single thing I wanted you to know more than anything else, that my dad is fucking for me no matter what.
One of the things that I kind of thought of when you asked us what you did well is I can't think of, which kind of goes along with what you're just saying, I can't think of a single event that you weren't there for, like piano recitals, when I won Stupid Super Citizen at Oak Hill, to like every single dad's weekend. It was just like, there was no question you were going to be there. And I think as a kid growing up that way, it's just like, of course he's going to be there. But realizing that a lot of people didn't grow up that way, it's like, looking back on that, it's, and having that someone I could count on so much, I'm sure did so much in terms of shaping me as a person as I grew up.
Cool. Okay, I think you guys were too easy on me, but I'm going to go ahead and like, I'm going to go ahead and take it for this time. If you are a dad and you are struggling, if you are a dick to your kids, if you just don't have a plan, that is what the man-made program is for. It's not just for that, but it is to empower you to raise your children in a way that, one, you discover who they authentically are. You're not trying to get them to conform to some fucking standard from your unresolved issues from your childhood. You're not trying to force feed some religious doctrine down their throat. You really want to partner with them and help them discover their authentic self and grow up having unconditional positive regard for the world and seeing the world as a beautiful, wonderful place to be experienced, then this is the program that is for you. And we want you to empower you to be able to do that. Again, the greatest thank you that I can give to each one of you for the privilege of being your father, and what is so delightful at this stage in our lives is I get the even greater privilege of being your friend, and doing fun shit with you guys. And I just, please know that knowing you has been and will always be the greatest experience of my life. And we will. And we'll talk to you out there next time.